So today we're back in James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, that long passage that's intricately related to each other, all those 12 verses that talks about the tongue, or in other words, that talks about speech. And as a matter of fact, I was reading Proverbs yesterday, and lo and behold, I came across a verse or a couple of verses that also talk about the tongue and the speech, which I thought were so interesting that I even texted those verses to some of you. Actually, to most of you, I believe. Most of people that receive and read texts, that is. Not the entire congregation, let's just say. So, I will go ahead and read those two verses. Proverbs 26, 18 and 19 says the following: like a madman who throws fireballs, arrows, and death is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only kidding, or I was only joking. And I thought, geez, how relevant also is that to the tongue and the speech that we employ, number one. And number two, how many times do we find ourselves saying, oh, I was only kidding, or I was only joking? And also, in even secular circles, not just in the Christian circles, I'm sure you've all heard of a saying that says that every joke has some truth in it. Right, brothers and sisters? Every joke has part truth in it. So I hope that passage, Proverbs 26, 18, 19, also is on the top of your mind as you consider joking and as you consider making some kind of a statement that might not be true. That being said, we're not against fun. We love having fun. I myself enjoy a good joke as well. It just has to be the appropriate time and place for everything. So with that, let's go back to James chapter 3. And again, remember, if you take a step back, James is writing and talking about the genuineness of the faith of the believers. And if you want to know if your faith is genuine, which we all ought to, your speech is a good indicator of whether it is or not. So if you want to know if your faith is genuine, just look at your speech. Do words come out that ought not to come out? Do expressions come out that ought not to come out? And James tells us here that speech is a great indicator. He spends 12 verses going in a lot of detail to show us just that. And so, the entire 12-verse passage I've titled as Living Faith Produces Self-Control in Our Speech. But those 12 verses have a lot of in them. A lot. And so they could be actually split down and broken down into smaller subsections. And when we started these 12 verses, first we talked about the first subcategorization of that title of Living Faith Producing Self-Control. And we talked about common need for self-control. Remember, we focused on verse 1 that talked about that common need for self-control. And last time, we focused on verses 2 through 4 that describe the common problem. And what is the common problem? The common problem we all face, the entire human race faces, is an out-of-control tongue. And that's what we learned and talked about in verses 2 through 4 of James chapter 3. Also, remember, we spent a little bit of time looking at the two wonderful illustrations that James provided to us. One was a horse being controlled by that little metal piece they put into its mouth called a bit, right? Big horse, little metal part called a bit, and a horse was being controlled and moved around by the metal part. And second example that James writes to us about are the big giant ships, and they have a tiny little rudder in the back there, and the ships are controlled by the tiny rudder. So we talked also and looked at those two illustrations. And what's the point? The point that James was writing to us is that he was setting a groundwork. He was setting basically a framework that now he's going to go on and continue in the following verses, where he's comparing the tongue to that little member, analogous to the rudder on the ship, where a small little tongue is controlling or impacting the whole body. And so in those examples also, in those two illustrations, we saw that horse is controlled by a little bit, But the bit is not just being controlled by no one. The rider controls the bit. And similarly, a big giant ship is controlled by a rudder, but there is a pilot or a ship captain controlling the ship. And so similarly, when we talk about the body and an impact, I'm sorry, when we talk about the tongue and the impact on the entire body, the question is, well, who's controlling the tongue? Who's controlling the tongue? And James, in those first few verses, he told us that whoever's able to bridle or to control the tongue is able to bridle the whole body or to control the whole body. And in these verses that we'll read and study today, actually, James is switching sides a little bit, and he's going to describe to us the characteristics of an uncontrolled tongue. Because he's writing to us, this is what an uncontrolled tongue looks like. He's writing to believers. You believers ought not to have uncontrolled tongues like that. So with that, let's read the passage. James 3, verses 1 through 6 say the following, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able to also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole bodies. And look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires." So there's those two illustrations we talked about. And now for the two verses that we'll discuss today. In verse 5 it says, "Even so," or in other translations it says, "likewise." Just like the examples we read, "the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set amongst our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell." So we'll read to this point right there. And so the title of our discussion today are the characteristics of an uncontrolled tongue. And I want us to notice that James is writing, in fact, about an uncontrolled tongue that we ought not to have. And if you wonder where I get that, skip forward to verse 10. He clearly tells us these things ought not to be so. But let's pause and walk briefly and quickly through the characteristics of an uncontrolled tongue so it's clear to us what it not to be like in our own lives. So I've wanted to highlight for us 7 quick characteristics of an uncontrolled tongue that are found in verses 5 through 6. And we'll just zip through them real fast. First one, if you go back and read verse 5 through 6 again, James says, likewise, meaning that he's drawing our attention to the two comparisons or the two illustrations that he just gave, which were of the horse and the bit and the giant ship and the small rudder. He says, likewise, just like that. First characteristic is the size. The size of our tongues, or tongues in general, is small. So first, size, it's small, yet it causes so much damage when it's uncontrolled. Second characteristic is the speech. Look, it says that it boasts great things, our tongues. When you look up under a dictionary where it means to, what it means to boast, you'll see a lot of definitions, but in general it means to lift up and puff up. And as an example, I'm sure you know many people that you've come across in contact where you talk with them and immediately you notice a boastful spirit. For example, have you ever gone on vacation perhaps somewhere and you come back wherever you've been, perhaps a trip, maybe a trip you went to, let's say, Florida or Hawaii or what have you. And you come back and somebody asks you, "Where did you go?" And you say, "Hawaii." And without skipping a beat, the person that just asked you a question launches in and says, "Oh, I've been to Hawaii. It was great over there. And let me tell you all these things that I did there. And it was wonderful." And immediately after asking a question, here they are talking about themselves 24/7. Well, I'm sure you've come across people like that. I certainly have. I try not to be one of those people. And what is it, a characteristic or a demonstration of? A boastful spirit. They're talking about themselves. They're boasting. So that's the second characteristic, speech. Speech is boastful of the tongue. Third is similarity. Similarity to what? Similarity to a devastating power of fire. If you look at verses 5 and 6, 5 at the end there, it says, "See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire." Uncontrolled tongue is compared to destructive nature of fire. One careless statement made can destroy people's careers, lives, and their relationships. And you can think of secular examples, people at work saying things that they ought not to have said and maybe getting fired for it. Can you think of some examples? I certainly can. You can think of politicians also perhaps saying something in passing carelessly, yet great devastation being caused by that, and the media picking it up and spinning it in a variety of ways. So the third characteristic of an uncontrolled tongue is its similarity to a devastating power of fire. Fourth, and again, the first is size, second is speech, third is similarity, fourth is sinfulness. Look, in verse 6, it says that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So much could be said about that phrase itself, a world of iniquity. Tongue is being compared to a world iniquity. We're not going to spend too much time talking about that, but a world of iniquity is equivalent or analogous of just a system of that could be characterized by evil. And we see examples of that of both New and Old Testament. Next characteristic would be, look at where it is set. Again, if we go back and read verse 6, it says, "The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body." So the tongue or the speech has impact on our entire bodies or our entire lives. And James writes more about that. James has this analogy of a human body, speech, tongue. And here, by the setting of the tongue, he draws our attention that it has impact on the rest of the body. He doesn't say it's set maybe like a fingernail that you have, right? And some of you have long fingernails. Some have not so long fingernails. Mine, I would say, are probably medium-sized, right? And if your fingernail grows, you just cut it and there is no impact on it. That's not the case with a tongue. One theologian writes that a tongue imparts moral corruption. The tongue is continuous defiler of the whole body. And again, we're talking about an uncontrolled tongue and not a tongue that is belonging to a redeemed person. So an uncontrolled tongue, a tongue of a person that is unredeemed, is set such that it impacts and it defiles the lives and the bodies of that particular person, whoever he comes in contact with. So the sixth characteristic is seriousness. Seriousness and an uncontrolled tongue. Some people might say, "Hey, you know, every little while I say things, some of the things that ought not to be said, but what's the big deal?" Right? What is the big deal? And in verse 6, James tells us what the big deal is. Look at verse 6 again. It says the following. It says that it sets on fire the course of nature. Another translation renders it in the following manner. And it sets on fire the course of our life. So the tongue, an unredeemed, uncontrolled tongue, sets on fire, or in other words, impacts negatively, adversely, the course of lives, of people, period. And so often we don't think about that. So often we actually don't agree with that. If you're honest, you probably don't agree with that, quite frankly, a lot of the times, because of the language that you use. But what the Bible says is that it sets on fire the course of lives. One theologian writes that an unconsiderate, slanderous report can set a whole community on fire. A nation can be aroused by some vicious propaganda setting different classes of men into ruinous conflict with each other. And wild, passionate words of national hatred can steer international conflict whose flames may need to be quenched with rivers of blood. So James tells us that it's serious. An uncontrolled tongue is very serious. And lastly, the seventh characteristic of an uncontrolled tongue is James points us to the source. Now think back to that analogy that he outlined before these verses. He talked about the horse and the metal bit in its mouth that's controlling the direction of the horse. He talked about the ship, a giant ship, perhaps think of a tanker sailing in a certain direction, and a small little rudder that is controlling it. And the analogy that he's making is you have your body and you're going in a certain direction, and the tongue, this little member, is directing where you go. But just as in the ship there is a pilot steering the ship, and in the horse there is a rider steering it, similar in our bodies, wherever the body is, the tongue is impacting it. Here, the last characteristic, he's pointing to the source. The tongue itself is not the root cause. It is merely a symptom. And what James is telling us here in verse 6 is that the root cause, or the source of the direction, the source of power, the source of all these words of an unregenerate, uncontrolled tongue is where? It is the fire of hell itself. Look at verse 6 again. It says, the tongue is so set amongst our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is, meaning the tongue, is set on fire by hell itself. So what does that mean? That means that if you have uncontrolled words coming out of your mouth, the source is hell itself, Satan itself. Next time you're cussing, and I hope that no one is doing so in the church, but in a group this size, I'm sure there are some in this group. What I want you to think about that is the source of these words is hell. Because that's what James is telling us. Next time you're saying what you ought not to be saying, bad words are coming out, or slanderous words, you need to be thinking the source is Satan. I am saying the words of whom, or of which the source is Satan, of which the source is hell itself. Because that is what James is saying. Source of an uncontrolled speech, source of bad words, is hell, is Satan, is the devil. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but that's what the Bible says. It's not your character. Some people always like to sweep things under the rug and say, oh, you know, in Russian people like to say, у него такой характер просто, или у него такой характер. The words come out. That's not what James is saying. That's not an excuse. That's not going to fly. Those words start coming out. Please go back to this verse and think of what your source is. Now, this is a very dire note to end on. And I don't want us to necessarily end in this note. And I want you to recognize and realize that, again, in these two verses, James is describing the characteristics of an unregenerate tongue, an unregenerate person. And for whatever reason, he does not elaborate, or he does not choose to talk about a tongue that is touched by not the fire of hell, but by the fire of God. And there are passages in the scripture and examples. For example, in Isaiah 6 through 9, where the fire of God, remember where Isaiah writes about the vision he had and being at the throne room of God and seeing an angel grab a charcoal or a coal from God's altar and come and touch Isaiah in his mouth. And then after that, Isaiah says, go and send me. So there are examples where the tongue is and could be touched by God, and it is regenerated in the lives of those. So for whatever reason, James does not choose to talk about that here. Why? Probably because he's writing to believers. He's addressing issues that they have there. And he's telling them, he's drawing or highlighting the measuring stick by which they ought to be measuring themselves. Because clearly in that community, as is now, there were some who either did not know, were ignorant, or either had a misinterpretation of self, self-worth, or self-behavior, and he's clearly articulating to them, this is the standard of the Christian. That's why perhaps he's focusing on the negative aspects that, again, later on in verse 10, he says, these things ought not to be so. So I want us to be familiar and realize and recognize these seven characteristics, which again are the size, the speech of an uncontrolled tongue, boastful, the similarity to a fire, the sinfulness, where it's set, how it impacts other body members and individual, the seriousness, and finally the sore, so that we are able to recognize. And if we fall in sin in any of these areas, which we do, we all fall in sin, we go back to Christ with repentance, because we all sin and we're able to find forgiveness and salvation in Him. And so with that, next time we will talk about the following two verses where James talks about that controlling the tongue is humanly impossible. In our own power, we can't control it. And in our own power, we're deemed to follow these seven characteristics. And then further and later on, we'll talk about the fact that only in Christ we find the power to control and subdue and to have our tongue be in His service. Amen.